You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon series from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas. We're a family that is devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thank you for listening.
We are beginning our second week in this series called Rooted, as we look at the book of Ephesians. And as we begin this week two of it, I want to start with a little bit of context. So I want to look at a story in Acts 21. And so in Acts 21, beginning in verse 27, this is what it says. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia who had seen him in the temple stirred up the whole crowd. They seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against our people, our laws, and this place. More than that, he has actually brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled the holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." Now, for that story, a little bit of context in that part in red. More than that, he actually brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. In the temple, there were two courts. There was a court of the women and a court of the Gentiles, a wall that separated, and then you could go into the temple. And on this wall was an inscription. And what this inscription said was this: "No stranger is to enter within the fence around the temple. Whoever is caught will be responsible to himself for his death, which will ensue." So from the very beginning, as we see this in Acts 21, we notice that there is an issue, because for the Jews, they were upset that Paul could be bringing Gentiles across this wall, because there was a wall that separated Jews from Gentiles to the point that if it was crossed, there would be death, and it would be on the person who crossed it. And this is not a new thing. Walls aren't something new. We see it as we just look in the New Testament. We notice that, especially in the book of Acts. We notice that in Acts 15, there is an issue. And that issue is in the Council of Jerusalem is what? That Paul has been hanging out with Gentiles, that Peter has been hanging out with Gentiles, and that Gentiles were being saved. And the issue in this moment was, Gentiles have to go through a few hoops before they're allowed in. And in Acts 15, you have this conversation between Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, trying to figure out, this wall is in place. They have to do certain things to get over this wall. And you have Paul and Peter saying, God seems to have broken down the wall. And in Acts 15, you have this conversation that happens. And when it ends, it has James and the elders of the Jerusalem church saying, it seems to us the Holy Spirit saying the same thing. The wall's coming down. So don't hinder the Gentiles as they move forward. Walls have always been put up. Walls have always been put up to keep certain people out. And in our own era, we know this. We look at the Berlin Wall, right? We can remember, most of us in here can remember when Ronald Reagan said to Gorbachev, "Tear down this wall." And we remember in 1989 when that wall finally came down. We can remember those images in our minds of people smashing the wall. In fact, Lanny Tucker, who was here from EEM and did the communion a few weeks ago, had a piece of the Berlin Wall with him. I mean, we remember when that wall came down, and we celebrate when that wall came down, because as human beings, we like it when those that were divided can come back together. And this week, in the passage that we'll read from Ephesians, we see that which is inside of us, this kind of nature of wanting to cross walls, to break down walls, was given, I think, inside of us by God himself. Because as Paul is going to speak to the Ephesian church in us, he's going to speak about what God did in order for us to have unity. And this series, as we talk about what it means to be rooted in Christ, and last week as we begin this with "we are rooted in Christ," I said this idea that when we are rooted in Christ, something is produced. Something comes up. And I think what Paul says here in Ephesians 2 is that which is being produced is a type of unity that only comes in Christ. So read with me Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles, by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. Growing up, my brother and I were different. He was 4 years younger than me. And so as we were growing up, I would always tell him a story. And if you think less of me for the story, I'm sorry. But I would always tell my brother a story, and this is what I would tell him. Because he was 4 years younger than me, right? And I would look at him, and first I would say, you know you're adopted, right? That was the story I told him for so long. Hey, you know you're adopted, right? And my parents can shake their head. I'm actually telling the truth on this because I think they've heard it. But you know you're adopted. And then I would give him the nickname every now and then of oops. Just say, you know you're just oops. That's all you are. Why would, and I know that's really bad, and I don't do that to him at all because now he's like 6'3 and about 220, 230, and he can take me. But why would I do that to him? Why would I say that to him? Because in my mind, I was trying to remind my brother of who was first, right? I was first, you weren't. My parents love me more than my parents love you. Always remember that. You will always come in second, which is not true because he comes in first in a lot of things, but you will always come in second. That's what I tried to do. I tried to build just enough of a wall for him to know who was better than the other. Why? Well, what's going on here? Well, first off, name-calling is an incredibly easy way of building walls with other people, right? Name-calling allows us to put status in place and to say, I'm better than you. As Paul is speaking here in Ephesians 2, what do we notice? You who were once called the uncircumcision by who? The circumcised. We got big brother, the Jews, reminding little brother, the Gentiles, we were here first. God loves us more. These are the hoops you got to get over to get to this point. And Paul says that's what was going on. Name calling, status was producing in this church in Ephesus. And by the way, this is a problem that Paul was dealing with throughout his epistles, but name-calling and desire of status was producing in itself what? Discord, division, dissidence. We notice that as we read 1 Corinthians 1. As Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, says what? I hear from the household of Chloe that there are some who are following Apollos, some who are following Cephas, some who are following Jesus, and some who are following Paul. Name-calling produces something. And what it produces is not what I think Paul was hoping it would produce, it needs to produce. Instead, what Paul says in verse 13 is something completely different. Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus. Paul says, You who are rooted in Christ will produce something different. And what you will produce is a unity that asks a different question than who was here first or who's been here longer. And instead, the church rooted in Christ will ask the question of what is God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit up to in all of us? The bigger, notice the difference in the question. It's now not individualistic, right? It's not how long I've been here over how long you've been here. But now it becomes a more communal question about what is God doing in all of us? This is the kind of unity that is needed to be produced when a church is so deeply rooted in Christ, it breaks down the walls that have divided us. So then Paul can write in Galatians 3:28, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, rich, poor, right? And bring it into our definitions. There's no longer millennial and Gen Xer and Gen Xer and baby boomer and baby boomer and greatest generation. No, what does Paul say? You are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul says the unity that's produced when a church and a congregation roots itself so deeply into the soil is the ability to break the walls of division. And this has never been more true than, as I told you last week about my landscape, and I'm not good with that. Well, I'm also not good with foundations either, because we're going to have some issues with our foundation. And so the guy came to look at my foundation, and he walked outside, and he looked at my trees, and he said, oh, your trees are fine. They're far enough away from the house, right? And I didn't know what he's talking about. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you see, what happens is when roots get deep and they've been in long enough, they begin to grow and strengthen and they begin to stretch out. And what they can do is they can get underneath your foundation and they can be strong enough to raise your foundation or crack your foundation. And I think what Paul is saying here is when the church gets so rooted in Christ that the roots strengthen to the point of being able to break through any divisions that we have created, any walls that we have put up, I think Paul is saying it can be broken. But that doesn't mean unity is easy. I think we could all attest to that. Unity is, it's hard work. Because the minute we notice our differences, we begin to name call. The differences begin to be the person, right? So how they're different than me begins to be who they are. So we build a wall between them because they're different than me this way. So that's who they are. And that's what it does when we start looking at people's differences. It becomes the person. The person doesn't become that who is in Christ Jesus, as we see. The person becomes that which makes them different. And so a wall is raised. And so what happens when that goes along is unity becomes something else. Unity, someone is allowed to cross the wall if they conform to us. So what do I mean by that? I mean, the person can be unified with us as long as they become like us. So they think like us, they talk like us, they act like us. All the boxes are checked, right? But I think that unity rooted in Christ is different. I have a hunch it's different. And I'm very thankful for Steve and what he said about the Lord's Supper, because I think he's dead on about it being the most important thing that we do on a Sunday morning. And I think unity is rooted in Christ, and we have a model for it in the Lord's Supper. Unity in the church is not conformity. Unity in the church is cruciformity. Unity takes the shape of the cross. So notice what Paul says in this, and we'll get the imagery, and I think there's a slide up here that I have that's got it in red, but notice what Paul says. And we get kind of the crucifixion imagery, we get the communion imagery in our heads. In verse 13, we were brought near by the blood of Christ. Going on a little bit further, it says in verse 14, he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, that he might create in himself one new humanity, reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. Paul seems to think this unity that is rooted in Christ has a cross shape to it. That instead of it being about the person's differences, it becomes about the person being in Christ. And so we look through a different lens. So, and what does that look like? That looks like us being able to celebrate with the person sitting next to them their gifts that have been given to them by God. And we get to do that next week when Britt Hadley, who's sitting right over there, preaches to us. We get the gift of Britt preaching to us. It looks like us noticing the gifts of others and saying, what is God up to in you? It looks like us being able to grieve with one another when we have a loss. And I think what Paul is saying here, the unity in the church when it is rooted in Christ looks like this. I am able to die to myself. You are able to die to yourself. And what comes up in the middle is life. And so the differences don't make us who we are. The cross makes us who we are. Being in Jesus makes us who we are. So we see people differently. And every Sunday, if we need a reminder, we do that. Every Sunday, we come together and we break bread. And we say, this is the body of Christ. And we take a piece and we pass it to the next person. And if we look up, we notice everybody's eating the body. Then we take the cup and we pass it and we drink it and we say, the blood of Christ. And if we pass it to our neighbor and we look up, what do we notice? Everybody's drinking the blood of Christ. And in that moment, all walls are shattered. And in that moment, we see once again what Paul says here in Ephesians 2, that there were two that have now been made one. And so unity looks different. It looks different because I no longer look at you as, well, they think this and I think this, so I can't like them. Right? We've done that before. They did this, I did this, so I don't like them. Instead, what unity in the church says is the person sitting next to me is in Christ as much as I am in Christ. So the lens through which I see him will be the lens of the cross, will be the lens of the table that I just took. So therefore, I can cross the aisle and talk to the person. And the person will not be their difference. And what goes on in the midst of that? What are the gifts that come from this being rooted in Christ? What are the gifts of unity here? It is the gift of listening. It'll be the gift of understanding. It'll be the gift of forgiveness. It'll be the gift of mercy. And it will be the gift of repentance. But Paul in this passage says, those, the congregation rooted in Christ, will produce a unity that is different than what the world understands. Because what the world says is, conform to us, be like us, and everything is okay. What the church says is, be like the cross. Be like Jesus. Die to yourself. Because when you die to yourself, you can listen. When you see with new eyes through the cross, you can see the person sitting next to you differently. And so Paul calls us to a different kind of unity than the one we're used to. And it's a unity that will break walls. It's a unity that can overcome divisions. And it's the one that Paul continued to push throughout his ministry. Is Jesus is our unity. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, all of us in here can be unified when we look different, when we talk differently, when we may have different opinions. Paul says what can hold us together is the cross of Christ. And so my challenge for you today is this. Who in here have you struggled with? Who in this body have you struggled with? And is it time for you to cross the aisle? Is it time for you to see them differently through the lens of the one who through his death took two and made one? And even reaching further, because I think when we do reconciliation at here, it pushes out there. Who in your neighborhood, in your workforce, or in your friend, in your circle of friends have you struggled with? How can you cross the aisle to them and show them a different kind of unity? The one I think Paul is calling out for us to live into. It's going to be hard, but in the end, what Paul says is, what is produced is beautiful.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to our sermon podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts for special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, you can go to www.grapevinechurch.com.